Welcome to Everything is Changing. In each episode, we focus on circular economy, ecosystem restoration, energy transformation, sustainable mobility, and water resources. I am Ahmetcan Uzlaşık. Perspective is everything, and everything is changing. In this short episode, recorded at ITS 2025 in Seville, I spoke with Andrew Winder, Senior Manager at Artico ITS Europe. Andrew has over a decade of experience in clean and intelligent transport systems, focusing on CO2 reduction and electromobility. We discussed why small electric vehicles matter for cities, the barriers still holding people back, and how teleoperation and policy shifts might drive the change forward. Let's dive in.
To start, could you briefly talk about yourself, please?
So I'm Andrew Winder. I've been working at Artico for the last 13 years. I'm working in clean and green mobility. So ITS for climate issues and pollution reduction, and that includes electromobility.
It seems like that this year, mini electric vehicles has been a hot topic in ITS. Why are small electric vehicles, in your opinion, are so important for cities today?
I think it's more of a one issue in Europe compared with America. We have older, more historic and congested cities. So that's an important thing. And more cities are taking the lead in terms of pollution reduction. So there are cities almost acting like countries where there are restrictions or urban access restrictions for different kinds of vehicles. And usually EVs are exempt or have an advantage. So that is one thing with smaller vehicles. The other thing is maybe an affordability issue. Traditionally, electric vehicles have been quite expensive, and we want to make them more affordable to ordinary people. And there's some projects like the ZEVOC project that we're running in Artico. We're also looking beyond Europe to more middle-income countries, and can we make electric vehicles that people can afford in regions like Africa, like Asia, that are more reasonable but frugal and basic, but still electric and clean for short distance urban mobility for last mile, not just cities, but also maybe short distance in semi-urban or rural areas as well.
Do you agree that there is a hesitation among people when it comes to buying or using mini electric cars right now, and what might be the reasons of that?
Yeah, there is some hesitation. I think a lot of people are talking this year that sales have gone down compared with recent years. I don't think it's necessarily a reversal or anything. I think what has happened is, I mean, it's my personal opinion, is that you had the people who were really keen and the early adopters who wanted to buy an electric car have already got one. And now there's the rest of the people to convince, and people are maybe thinking, okay, shall I have one or not? And there's some reticence when people say, okay, maybe a few days or a few weeks a year, I need something more than an electric car to go a long distance. But most of the time it is working. So it's often working in terms of a second vehicle. I think it's more and more the catalyst is fleets, company cars or taxis or urban public transport or freight deliveries. And when companies and public authorities start to go electric, then I think the rest of the people will follow. But I think, yeah, there's still a bit of a mystery for some people regarding charging, because it's still not as obvious as a petrol station. There are different ways of doing it. But I think it's coming pretty quickly.
And there's this concept of teleoperation, which I don't think many people are familiar with. So how does this remote driving teleoperation works, and do you think it is useful?
There is the self-driving technology. It's a slightly separate thing. In some ways, maybe taxis or public transport or maybe some freight deliveries, it could solve a driver shortage. There are probably safer in most ways. But this is something that is really sort of developing its use cases. I mean, one thing I just saw in this conference outside, there's a big bus where it's automated, but only in the depot. So there's no risk to passengers. Maybe the skeptics can step aside there. It's just for shunting into the depot and it saves manpower. And this is happening with logistics as well. In controlled areas, maybe, you know, airports or business parks or things, there are automated shuttles more and more. So these can solve some problems. When it comes to self-driving cars, I think there's still a bit of a way off. because there's also the cost implication that at the moment you can't, this cost is really affordable on the production line.
And when it comes to, again, mini electric vehicles, what rules or laws do you think needs to change to help this mindset grow?
I think at an urban level, more and more controls on polluting vehicles are helping EVs. I think certain tax breaks, of course, I think the period is ending when people are getting the subsidy to buy electric vehicles. I think the governments have other things to spend money on, and it's seen a little bit as a subsidy to the rich. But on the other hand, the driving taxes, the tax on fuel and things like this, or would be cheaper for EVs. So I think it's partly financial. I think it's also when it's a long period of fleet replacement. You can't expect it to happen overnight. If people have a traditional ICE car and there's still 5 years of good life in it, then you wouldn't sell it tomorrow to get an EV. You would use your car until you need to replace it. So I think there is that as well. Like I said before, I think a lot of it is maybe incentives to companies and to fleets and to public authorities that are running bus vehicles, including bus companies and freight and so on. I think that is a major part of it.
And last question is, can these vehicles, mini electric vehicles, really replace the cars that we have right now in the near future, you think?
I think so. I mean, there are EVs with quite a long range now, so you can go a long distance with them. It's just that you have to plan more carefully. You can't, you need to plan some stops, but there is rapid charging on across the trans-European road network in Europe. There's more interoperability. You can live in one country and use a card or an account in another country. So I think it can replace. I think one issue is maybe the electric grid, and it depends on the country. Most of Europe, I think, is okay. But if you've got countries with less stable electric networks, then that is maybe one issue where the grid needs to be more robust and reliable for this to happen.
That was Andrew Winder from Artico ITS Europe, offering a deep and practical look at the road ahead for electric mobility. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow Everything is Changing and leave us a review. You can find more episodes and updates on our website and wherever you get your podcasts. Perspective is everything, and everything is changing. See you.